Funds, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Congressman Joe Crowley, 14th District of New York, which covers Bronx and the Queens, is vice chair of the Democratic Caucus, a native of Woodside, Queens, a lifetime long New Yorker. Joe has served the people of Bronx and the Queens in Congress since 1998. He's also served the Irish community in particular. And whenever we're looking for something, we at this point can memorize Congressman Crowley's telephone number, his email, we get on to him. Congressman Joe Crowley, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. Always great to be with you.
There is an issue, a huge issue, and one which, again, I could preface by saying we're not surprised at all that you're taking the lead in something that's, for many of us, practically incredible, that Malachy McAllister has been served not just one more notice extending his time in New York, which has been indeed has had a yearly renewal, but Malachy has now been served with a notice of deportation after 19 years to indeed show up for deportation back to Northern Ireland. Your initial reaction, I'm sure, is not, you know, not much different from the rest of us to say why, in the midst of all of our current problems, why would Homeland Security pick his name from the file now?
I think, Adrian, it's a complicated case, but I think a worthy case, and one that deserved a defender. And I'm not alone in this. This is bipartisan, Peter King and myself, as well as Bill Pascrell from New Jersey. Malachy lives in New Jersey, and Bill Pascrell is his congressman.
Yeah.
Bill has been an incredibly vociferous advocate on behalf of Malachy as well. Holds no punches. Bob Menendez in New Jersey and Chuck Schumer here in New York in the Senate, U.S. Senate, have also taken up Malachy's cause. I was, like I think most of your listeners, very disheartened as well as a bit surprised at directing this attention towards Malachy, a man who was, as you said, lived here for almost 20 years. He's had several businesses, including an establishment in New York City today that employs American citizens. He has a four-year-old son who is an American citizen. He is someone who admits that he was engaged in political activity, violent activity, but that he served time for that event, and that the event was against a member of the RUC, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, that was disbanded as a result of the Good Friday Agreement. And there was an attempt made on his life and the life of his family. 26 shots were fired to his home, which forced him to leave Ireland to come through Canada to the United States, where he sought asylum, and asylum having been denied not once but twice. We later find out through the Silver Report, a report to investigate collusion between the RUC, the British Army, and Red Hand of Ulster and other paramilitary organizations, loyalist organizations in the north of Ireland.
I'm sorry, and that's not just theory. This has been proven. So
it has been proven, in fact, in the report that the British government commissioned and now has admitted that collusion, in fact, did occur in the north of Ireland during that time, and that in the book, in the report, Malachy is mentioned as target number 12. I have to imagine, Adrian, had that evidence been available in either of his asylum cases, I would have to think that he would have been offered or given asylum here in the States. And I've spoken to the director of ICE, and I let her know that this fairly new evidence exists. And so my office has forwarded that on to her. And my hope is that they will understand that as much as things have changed in the north of Ireland and in Ireland as a whole, that there are still outstanding issues to be resolved, and not the least of which we have dissident groups on all sides, quite frankly. And we saw that just a few weeks ago, a member of the Northern Irish Police Force was killed. That things are not all settled as much as people would like to think they are. They're much better than they were 20 years ago, but there's still a process that needs to be moved forward. There's been a great deal of support in the United States for that movement, including the United States help in the creation of the Good Friday Agreement. And one of those provisions was the dismantling of the Royal Ulster Constabulary. It had to go. It was corrupt, and as mentioned before, it was involved in collusion. Where a member of the Nationalist Party or Sinn Féin or suspected individuals in the Irish Republican Army were not given a fair shake. And we recognized it back then in the creation of a new police force in North of Ireland. So I think one has to understand the history. I think the further we get away from that, the less sensitivity that exists all around, but here in the States as well, in terms of the bureaucrats in State Department, in Homeland Security, and at ICE.
You know, and ICE being the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, we all know what would be ideal, but we're looking at a deportation order which actually will go into effect 2 weeks and 2 days from today.
Right.
How do we help you and your colleagues, Senator Menendez and Chuck Schumer, how do we do something to get behind what it is you are doing to show that this, in fact, is that you're acting on behalf of an Irish and Irish-American community, and for that matter, an American community, many of whom have no Irish background whatsoever. How do we do that?
I think it's a good point to make, Adrian, because if there was ever a case for asylum, this is the exact type of case we would hope the American public would recognize as if this gentleman and his young son of 4 years of age, who is an American citizen, would have to leave because his father was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we're forcing the deportation of an American citizen in this case. That if there was ever a case for a political asylum, this meets all the standards. He absolutely is no threat to the United States of America. Unlike
right.
others, he is no threat. And I think what your listeners can do, I know they're not just in my district, but in all the congressional districts, reach out to your member of Congress in the House and the Senate and ask them to get involved. We have a series of letters that we're sending around the House of Representatives and the Senate. I know that Peter King, myself, and Bill Pascrell will be introducing a private bill on Monday, in just a couple of days, on behalf of Maliki. I know that that's also being planned in the Senate. If we can get some action moving on a private bill, we'll be able to at least defer action on Maliki for some months to give him the opportunity of time to make his case here in the state.
Absolutely, and deferment is something that we have to work on in the next couple of weeks. There are some, the process of reaching the House of Representatives, the congressional representatives, it appears to be very complicated, but to get through to the congressional switchboard, the number is 202-225-3121. After that, Congressman Crowley, in giving your zip code, even if you don't know who your congressional representative is. Then the process is pretty easy. You get on then to that particular, congressman's office. What do we do then? What happens when somebody calls your office, a constituent, for instance?
Right. What they would need to do is emphasize, they'll give their name, their address, maybe they'll ask for their phone number, and then they'll ask what they're calling about, and that's their opportunity to say, we're calling on behalf of the case dealing with Maliki McCourt. Maliki McCourt. We don't want Maliki McCourt deported. Maliki McAllister.
Who says?
The president, yes.
Maliki McAllister, obviously, yes.
And then, it'll begin a process. The more calls they begin to get, the more they'll start to register those calls. And when they hit a critical mass, that'll be brought to the attention of the member of Congress. That's how it typically works. We're getting a lot of phone calls today on Maliki McAllister, and is standing here in the United States and his request for political asylum or deferred action. And that's how it works its way up. The same thing with letters. The more letters, the more emails that are sent to an office, the more they're registered, the more they're taken down, and it's then brought to the attention of the member of Congress.
Yes.
And they'll be reaching out to me on the floor or to Bill Pascrell or to others within the Irish caucus, Richie Neal et al. Richie Neal has been involved in this, and it's taking on a national campaign, Adrian. I have to let you know that AOH is involved.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, I'm picking it up. But I appreciate what you're doing as well.
Also, from experience, we know that if we do get to the office, when we do get to the office, more often than not, that representative will be aware of the case.
Right.
And if they are saying, yeah, well, we support you, that's a good time. To note that and to pass it on that we have, a congressman, we have a congresswoman who is on our side that we may not be aware of. So, in all, it's an effective, a very effective way of getting something done. I know that many of us will settle for the short term and have the deportation order deferred, and
right.
that gives the time. But it will be all for naught if we do not do this in the next 2 weeks. So
the time is of the essence. Right now, he was ordered to bring a small bag and himself and report himself to ICE for deportation on April the 25th. As you said, it's 2 weeks from Monday.
Right.
Coming.
Okay, we got two weeks, 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, so time is of the essence. I think the more we're able to register with the members themselves, they'll be seeking me out on the floor, saying, Crowley, I have a letter. Where do I sign? That type of thing.
Yeah, and that actually happens, as you would know.
That happens quite often. I do it to them, they do it to me, too. So I think the other thing is we have a lot of credibility on this issue. Both King and I, and Ricky Neal and et al., that we don't ask often for these types of things, and that when they hear about it, and the Irish are very well connected around the country as well, both in Republican and Democratic offices. So
where we also hope that the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Dan Dennehy and many others, will get a national reaction.
Right.
And to that end, it is on. Just want to ask you, though, about the current climate with respect to immigration and immigration issues, and
right.
how we acknowledge that at this time it is very important to do something positive, not about the future immigration reform or the football that is being made out of immigration and immigrants, much of it up until this point anyway, of providing high level of entertainment. But this is something that, again, we point out, this is somebody who has been here for now close to 20 years.
Right.
And is a productive, very productive indeed contributor to all things, including, obviously, and it should be pointed out, his support for the Good Friday Agreement.
No doubt. In fact, you just hit the nail on the head. He is one of the, what I call, would have been one of the hard men.
Mm-hmm.
Very important, those men and women who took risks for peace, who said we had to give this a chance. And I'm speaking on both sides of the divide.
Yes.
Like David Irvine on the loyalist side, and Jerry Adams et al. On the national side. I would put Maliki McAllister in that category. Here in the States, he came out in support of the Good Friday Agreement. And part of that is the development of goodwill and really building a faith that the process will work. And much of that was brought about because of the involvement of the United States. I think both the North of Ireland folks and the folks in the South, as well as in Britain, are looking to see what is coming out of the United States on this right now. Do we have the same commitment to this agreement that we did back when it was passed in 1998 during the Clinton administration? I know that Hillary Clinton knows about this issue, and certainly her husband knows about it. That these are the types of issues that we really have to be much more sensitive to, not so much on the impact here in the United States, but what impact it has in Ireland, in Britain, and in the north of Ireland. And I do think, Maliki, you touch another good point in terms of the lack of cooperation here in the States on the overall issue of immigration reform. That does need to be addressed. But I do think that Congress is capable of looking at individual cases and coming to the conclusion that, not every case is exactly the same, that there are extenuating circumstances. In this case, that his life was not only threatened, there was action taken against him and his family. 26 bullets were fired into his home. That's not just a letter at the door. That's not just, someone saying, watch yourself or you're in trouble. They actually took steps to eliminate him. And to know now that there was collusion involved, I think is incredible.
And I think that the key point here is that this wasn't just a random attack on his home and his family, but it was known, and it was clearly an attempt by the RUC to somehow not even warn Maliki with his family and with his kids in the house. They just kind of let it slide. Not fair. And again, I want to thank you and obviously Peter King and the author of the bill from New Jersey. Give me his name again.
Bill Pascrell.
Okay.
Good guy.
Obviously a good guy, and hopefully
he went to Fordham University. He considers himself an honorary Irishman.
Well, he will be. He can definitely be counted, and again, but many times we talk about issues that we need to address at our convenience. This one is not at our convenience. We have to work, and we have to work on it now. And I sincerely thank you on behalf of, so many people who, as I say, know where you are, and, know how to get in touch with you. We will again make sure this message gets out. Again, it's great to have not only the AOH but other organizations who perhaps in the past didn't see or recognize the urgency that this has. But Congressman Joe Crowley, again, thank you, and hopefully we will be speaking on a more positive note within the next couple of weeks. I thank you for joining us.
I hope so
today.
As well. Thank you, Adrian. Thanks for your help.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.